We're in Luke chapter 5. We're in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You have to understand that Jesus has just come through the wilderness. He has just defeated the devil. He has just begun to call his disciples. He has had just a few verses before this. He's had his first dinner there at Simon Peter's house. And that night, you got to understand that his ministry has not really kicked off yet. Jesus' ministry is still in the very, very, very beginning stages here in Luke chapter 5. He has just a few hours, you could say, before where we're going to be at. He has healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He has healed her. The Bible says that somehow, we don't know, but word broke loose that Jesus was healing people in that home. Maybe someone ran and said, hey, the mother-in-law just got healed. Don't bring your mother-in-law over here. I don't know. Maybe there's, we don't know how the, I'm just kidding. We don't know how it broke loose, all right? But the news broke loose that Jesus was healing people. Now, you have to understand, this is before Jesus just healed thousands and thousands of people. So this idea of someone healing sickness, it was very new. The people had not really been accustomed to that. Jesus had not gone out and just healed people everywhere. So what took place was in this home, he heals the mother-in-law, and then people come from the village, the town, the neighbors, they start to show up. We can maybe say maybe a few hundred, maybe 100 or so arrived, and Jesus healed them. So by and large, we're not talking about 20,000, 15,000, 10,000, 20,000. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a small group is healed, right? Are you with me? With that setting in our minds, this story starts to unfold. The Bible says in verse number 12, Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, or, and please don't understand, in Spanish it says, if you want to. And I think the translation is there in Greek. It could be either way. And that's what it says, the Old King James English, if thou wilt. If you want to, Jesus, if you want to, if you wilt, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus talking here, Jesus, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And I could just tell you right now, we never read that passage. There's no way we can even do it. We cannot read that passage with the proper emotion that was tied up in all of that. You really can't. You cannot. When Jesus just said, I will, be thou clean, that is not how he said it. I believe that Jesus, his heart was so broken and so full of compassion, so tender, when he, maybe with tears running down his face, he said, I will, be thou clean. We don't know exactly how he said that, but I'm sure the emotion that we feel is probably just can't equal to what was happening in that moment. And immediately, the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him, Jesus, he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. So now things are really starting. After this story, things really start going, the fame. And great multitudes came together to hear. And what does it say? Now what do they want to do, right? And to be healed, right? Now they're catching wind that Jesus can heal people, right? And to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So tonight I want to talk to you about truths about sickness. Truths about sickness. I want you to imagine with me tonight. Put on your imagination cap. You are here tonight at Faith Church and you are planning your summer ahead. You are thinking about what you're going to be doing for your vacation. You are thinking about May and June, maybe even July. You are beginning to plan ahead, to think about what you're going to do with your children and what's going to take place. And we're thinking about, man, in November, the election, who's going to win that again? What's going to take place? How is that going to all roll out? You know, and we're thinking about that. And I want you to imagine you wake up tomorrow and you look down at your hand and you just see a small pinprick dot on your hand. You don't think anything about it. You go to school, you go to work, you go on about your business. Your plans are set, you're thinking, you're planning. A few days go by and that little dot is still there. It's gotten just a tiny bit bigger. You decide, well, you know, I don't know. I don't really think there's anything. I'm feeling fine. It's just a little dot there. It got a little bit bigger. You maybe put some Neosporin on it. You try to just do a home remedy type thing and you don't really think too much of it, but you kind of go on. A few more days go by and it's still there and it's still just a little bit bigger. So you decide, you know, I am going to go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, you visit the doctor. The doctor tells you, look, I don't really know what that is. He looks at it, he checks it out. He says, you know, I don't really think you have anything here. I don't think there's a problem. It's just a little bump on your hand. I would continue going on. But, you know, how about we'll take some samples, we'll look at it, come back in about 2 weeks. And if it's still there, we'll talk again. So 2 weeks go by, you're kind of thinking about it, but you're not really stressing, you're not really worried about it. It's not really a huge issue in your life. But that bump is still there and it's still getting a little bit bigger. You go back to the doctor and the doctor sits you down and you're there and you're visiting with the doctor and you look at it again. He looks at it again and he says, look, I don't know how to tell you this, but I do think I know what you have. I think that you have something called leprosy. Oh man, I've got to tell my wife. Sir, hold on a minute. You have just entered quarantine. Sir, from this moment forward, you cannot go home right now. What do you mean? No, sir, you got to understand right now, as of this moment, you, under the law, you cannot go home. You can call your wife, tell her what you need to tell her. You cannot see your kids from this moment forward. You see, this sickness is leprosy. And if you go home, but it's just a dot on my finger, on my hand. What are you talking about? And I can't go home. No, sir. Look, you have to understand, this is extremely contagious. If you go home to your family right now, you could give this to them. And if you love your family, if you love your kids, if you love your wife, you cannot have contact with them. You need to go home. You need to get your affairs in order. We're going to have to send you to the quarantine camp outside of the town. Imagine what you would be feeling in that moment. You go out to the camp, you're there, and you're there with the other lepers, and you're with them, and they are disfigured, they are sick, they are dying. And you still, at this moment, you are relatively healthy. You have this mark on your hand and you are there, but you know what the doctors have told you and all the things are pointing that this could be leprosy. You're in agreement with him and you are now away from your family. Emotionally, you are devastated. You cannot even imagine what's taking place in your life. Imagine your family, they come and your children and your wife, they're crying with tears and they stand in the distance and they look at you and they cry and they're weeping, and maybe the wife and the kids, they bring some toys or food or maybe a little drawing and they sit it down on the rocks and they say, well, we're going to put it here. When we leave, you come get the food and you take this. And for several days, you know, that continues to happen. Your wife comes by, they bring you food, or your husband brings you the food. Your children come to wave at you in the distance. And all the while, that sickness is getting worse on your body. After a few weeks, you tell your wife to come over in the distance where you could talk to her. And you have tears in your eyes and you say, look, babe, I love you. I love the kids, but I'm going to have to ask you to stop coming by. My body is starting to get disfigured. It just is not a good scene. I don't want the kids to see me this way. I don't want to remember me this way. I don't want you to remember me this way. I just prefer that you just not come by. It's too painful for me. It's too emotionally difficult for me. I just cannot deal with that. And you, with tears in your eyes, you tell your spouse to just not come by. I want my kids to remember me as the man that I was, as the woman that I was. And you tell them to go off. The Bible says this man was full of leprosy. That means that he was in the extreme late stages. He had gone through all of that. Can I just check? Is anybody with me tonight? With all of that in mind, I want you to understand that when this man hears of Jesus, you know what he does tonight in this passage? He does not come to Jesus and beg and give a story and say, Jesus, for these three reasons, I believe that you should heal me. Jesus, because of these reasons of the suffering that I've had for 10, 15 years, Jesus, I really believe that you should have mercy on me and help me through this situation because I really deserve it. That's not what he did. He comes to Jesus and this is what he says. This blows my mind and I still cannot imagine this man. He says, Jesus, he says this. He says, Jesus, if you want to, if you want to, Jesus, you can heal me. Now, hold on a minute. You know what he did? He came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you can heal me if you want. Let's see what you're going to do. He just threw it down at Jesus' feet and walked. I mean, he didn't walk away, but he threw his heart there at Jesus. Jesus, you can heal me. Can I just say, let's just pause. Let's just pause for a second. Let's just pause before we go any further. Can we acknowledge tonight that let's be thankful for the health and the life and the what we have tonight, right now at this moment at 5:35 here tonight. Can we be thankful for what God has given us, that we are not lepers tonight, abandoned away from our family, going through that? Can we be thankful for that tonight, that we are not going through that? We have not gone through that suffering to where the doctor has literally told us you can no longer. I mean, that I can't imagine that. And so I see the pain of this sickness here. We understand that there are many people in this world that are sick. You know, the leper, he said, Jesus, think about what he said. If you want to, if thou wilt, hold on. If thou wilt, if you want to, comma, thou canst. You can do it, Jesus. You see how he acknowledged Jesus' power? The only one that has power is Jesus. Can I get amen right there? He's the only one that has the power. He's the only one that can cleanse. He's the only one that can change. He's the only one that can really help me and you. And this guy, he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you want to, you can do X, Y, and Z. Can I just remind us tonight that God really can do anything he wants? Y'all know that? God could do anything he wants tonight. We can't lose sight of that. We have to hope, we have to believe, we have to trust. God can do anything that he wants to do, which means he can do anything. Amen? God can do anything. We understand that. Let's not forget that. Let's not let that go. Let's not put God in a box and think that God can't do X, Y, and Z. Do not think that way. Don't believe that lie of the devil. God can do what he wants to do, and he can do anything. But the question is, what does God want to do? And that's where it gets sticky, because we don't know what God wants sometimes. Sometimes what we want is on one side and what God wants is on the other. And so I'm just thankful, Lord, thankful that you let us be here. Thankful that we're living tonight. Thankful that we have all the blessings that we have. You know what? This is just a reminder. Listen, and we know this. We all know this. I know y'all know this. But we always have to be thankful, because there's people in this world that are suffering, y'all, that are struggling, y'all. And I told Brother Hemet when we were talking about Marcos, I said, you know, this guy, he doesn't have no plan in retirement. He has no, literally, y'all, I'm telling y'all, if we don't bring them food and money, they ain't getting no food and money. I mean, I know that sounds bad. I know that is bad. That's bad. That's terrible. That's a bad place to be. That's not the American way to be, right? That means that obviously maybe he didn't say, I don't know. He didn't set things up, because he came and he was an immigrant, and so he didn't have any of that. And we could talk about why did they, I understand all that. Why did they come and this and that and other? But look, they're here. And he's here, and this is where he's at right now. And I'm not going to throw dirt on him because of the decisions that he made or whatever. He made the choice, and he's here, and his family's here, and he actually met his wife here at church and in a different church where they're growing up, and they have their daughter, and they're all three Christians, and they're saved, and they're just trying to live for Jesus. They're not trying to bother anybody. And this guy, he has no retirement. He has no food. He has no home. The home that they, I'm not making this up, y'all. The home that he's living in right now is over here in Fort Oaks, and someone offered them to be in that home. That home was under literally under condemnation, like condemned. It was condemned. Like it's going to be tore down because they're going to build some kind of a factory or something over there. And actually this week when he returned from the hospital, all of the area around the house was completely leveled. All the trees are gone. The ground was clear. They have construction fences around. Everything is tore up. Actually, the water pipe that gave them water was ruptured because of the trees are turned down. So when they turn into the house, the house is, the area around is completely cleared. The bulldozers are there. Literally, they had when I came on Monday, they had a shed behind the house. It was like a little, it was like a shed. When I came back Thursday, the shed was tore down. It was completely rubble, and they were picking it up and putting it into a dumpster. And on the 18th, they have orders to be out of the house. Here's this man, when you look through the window in the living room, he's in a hospital bed dying, and they're tearing down the area around him because life's got to go on, y'all. We got to, bless God, we got a project to do here, and we don't care if you're dying, you got to get out of that house. And you know what? That's a picture of this world that we're living in, right? Here he is dying, he looks out the window, and tractors are rolling by, plowing down the area, and his house is next. And it's not even his house. He's going to have to move out of that. Y'all, are y'all with me tonight? I mean, people in this world, if you are here tonight, we are so, I don't mean to say stinking, but we're so stinking blessed. We're so stinking blessed. Can we just be, if we don't get anything else out of the message tonight, let's just be thankful. Let's just come out of here and say, God, thank you for what you've given me. And I looked at Brother Hammett and I said, Brother Hammett, why is God so good to me and you? We're not going through what this guy, why do I deserve better than what he deserves? I just can't answer that. God's been so good to us. Man, let's just be thankful. And so this guy, he comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you want to, you can do it. And then Jesus, you know what Jesus says? I will. I will. Be thou clean. You know, this afternoon, don't ever doubt that Jesus does love you. He does care about your suffering that you're going through. He does know what you're going through. He does want you to have a better life. He does want things to be better. And he does want to help. He does want to be there. It might not be the answer exactly that we want, but he does care. And he does worry about us. And he does think about us. And man, you know, the first time that I was going to come preach this, and I'm just telling y'all the truth, the honest truth. In January, I don't know what happened. I don't even know what happened. It was like the bottom of the bucket fell out. The flu came. Many of y'all had that. I mean, this is like the worst flu season we had here. So many people were sick in the church. People were sick for, you know, whatever the flu was, it would last them for like a month. People were coughing and then people would get it. I'd be like, well, you better get ready because you're going to be coughing for like 2 months. And it was bad, y'all. And so I got sick like in January. And then several years ago, playing on the trampoline, I hurt my back. And so I'm coughing so much that it just threw my back out again. I'm like literally just feeling crippled. I couldn't even walk. I couldn't do anything. I was so bad. I couldn't even come in to work a few days, and I was just struggling, and I still have some issues with that, but I'm just thankful to be here. And so, man, that was going on, and I was sick. And when you go through just full disclosure, I was just sleeping on the floor because I was like, well, let me sleep on the hard floor where it's flat. Maybe that'll help my back. So here I am on the floor, not getting relief. My wife's up there laughing at me, pointing and throwing pillows at me and stuff. And I'm down there suffering. I'm like, babe, I'm hurting over here. I can't even put my shoes on, you know? And I'm like in the depths of despair, and she's just not believing it or whatever. I'm like, you just wait until you get sick. I'm going to teach you a lesson, you know? And so I'm going through that. Can I just throw a word, just a small word? Depression is real. You know, I'm not trying to toot my horn. I promise I'm not. Don't understand that. But I'm just saying from that experience, when you go through like a physical pain that you just can't get past and it's constant and the doctors tell you, well, you know, I don't know, brother, it might just be something you have to live with. I'm telling you, that's demoralizing. Because then you start questioning God, because now you're looking at a change in quality of life. You're looking at maybe you not being able to do the things or enjoy the life to the same quality that you could before. So you talking about, depression's not a real thing for a Christian. Fooey on that. Man, I'm telling you, the devil, the flesh can come on you so quick and you'll get in depression real quick. And we're going to heaven and we love Jesus and we know all that and we love Jesus. But I'm telling you, depression is real and it'll come on you. And even as a Christian, man, it will overwhelm you. And you can get to the point where you are thinking suicidal thoughts. I'm just being honest tonight. You can get to that point, and some of y'all, it's so quiet in here because maybe y'all have really gone through that, and you know what I'm talking about. It's true. And I could just imagine this leper, the course of emotions that he has gone to, and I see him, and he knows that this is his moment, and he doesn't beg, he doesn't cry, he doesn't do any of that dramatic, over-the-top stuff, y'all. He just comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, look, I ain't even crying, Jesus. I'm just going to say one thing, Jesus. Jesus, if you want to, you can do it. And that's all he said. He didn't say, please do it. He didn't say, I want you to do it. He didn't say, I know you can do it. And if you would you please heal me? He didn't say that part. He just said, if you want to, you can. So what do you get from that, Brother Alex? This is what I get. This is what I get from it. Life and the Christian life, listen to me, the Christian life is not about us getting what we want from God. It's about us receiving and taking what God wants to give us. Are y'all with me tonight? It's not about us getting what we want. It's about receiving and accepting what God wants to give us. There are so many things in this life, different paths and different trials and different walks that he wants for you and me to go down. And look, it's not going to be what you want, but you have to come and say, God, if you want to, you can do X, Y, and Z. You know the attitude, listen, I don't know if y'all with me tonight. I feel a little bit alone by myself, but it's okay. No, I'm just kidding. And do you know the attitude that Jesus wants us to have? The attitude of this leper. Jesus, whatever you want, I'm okay with that. Jesus, I ain't even bitter. I'm not angry anymore. I'm not mad. Whatever you want, I'm just going to take that. You know, I see the purpose. I mentioned the points, and I purposely didn't mention the points because I'm not trying to focus on points tonight. But there's pain and sickness for sure. And then I see Jesus here. Look at Jesus at the end. He says, I will, be thou clean. So he heals the guy. And look, he might not want to heal us, but it's about taking what he wants to give us, right? We have to accept Jesus, whatever you want. If it's this or that, I'm here. I'm going to take it. Lord, send me. Lord, put it on me. Lord, whatever you want, here I am, right? Now, is that easy? No, it's not easy. It's difficult. I understand that. But this is what this guy did. And Jesus said this, he charged him to tell no man. So but then he says this, but go and show this up to the priest. So, you know, I was thinking about that today. I was just thinking about this. You cannot say that Jesus did not want him to tell people, right? Because it wasn't that he didn't want him to tell people. It's just that he didn't want him to tell certain people. Think about it. He did want the guy to go share, but he wanted him to go share with the priest. He wanted him to go with the religious crowd. Look, these people over here that are out here listening to me right now, I don't want you to tell them. But I do want you to go over there to that big temple building over there, that's real big with the gold. There's some guys in there that I want you to go in there and I want you to show them. I want them to know. I want those guys to know that there's a guy over here healing folks. I want you to know that God has showed up in Israel. I want you to go over there and let them know. You know, I think God wants us to stand. No matter what we're going through, he heals us. He doesn't heal us. He wants us to stand up and to go tell the people that we need to tell. Jesus. I also think here that Jesus, when Jesus said, hey, don't tell the crowd. He says, I charge him not to tell it. No man. Obviously, he was being specific. Certain people he did. He wanted him to go tell the priest. You know what I think that reveals about Jesus, y'all? He did not come for the fame. This would have been his moment, right? Now, the fame came and all that, and the Bible says the fame went abroad, so you understand, that's not what Jesus' heart was about. He did not want his name in the lights, y'all. Jesus did not want, he didn't say, hey, brother, look, I just healed you. If you could go ahead and give me a like on my healing page right there and let everybody in town know what I can do. Go ahead and give me a like. Go ahead and drop me a 5-star if you would, please, sir, on Google Maps at Healing Service at Nazareth Way on 123 Galilee Road. Let them know that I've been healing folks down here. Give me a 5-star rating. That's not what Jesus said, right? That's not what he did, y'all. He actually said, hey, man, look, come here for a second. Brother, I probably just did the biggest miracle in your whole entire life. But I just need you not to tell those people over there, because I'm not trying to get all that attention right now. Just quietly, just go down this road right here and just tell the priest in the temple. Just don't mention it to people over here. Now, you know what happened, though. You know what happened, though. The guy, I guarantee you, and I'm not saying that me and you wouldn't have done it, but you know what he did? Whoa! He went running, and he's like, I'm going to the temple, but I'm screaming and hollering on the way to the temple. And he let everybody know he kind of probably didn't do what Jesus asked him to do, which is not good, but we kind of understand it because he was excited about what had taken place. But you know what's revealed? Jesus' heart. Jesus did not come to this earth, y'all, looking for the fame. How many Christians want fame, right? How many of us, we want to be liked and we want the fame and we want all that, and we do not have the spirit that Jesus had. We do not have the heart that Jesus had. We want the attention for ourselves, and we want to shine and we want to be known and this, that, and the other. And man, that is not what Jesus was about. He just came with a tender heart and he said, man, I do want to heal you. I do want to help you. And he helped this guy. And tonight, Jesus does want to help you. And I believe that he is going to help us, but maybe it'll be in different ways that we think. And Jesus, man, he is a great savior, y'all. So here's my question that I want to close with. Are you willing to accept what God wants to give you? Are we willing to accept what God wants to give us? Y'all, let's not play games. Every time you hear about somebody getting cancer, you're a liar if you say it doesn't make you get fearful too. That could be us. Could be any of us. Don't lie and say that, man, when you hear that person get sick, so-and-so, that you don't think that about it happening to you. And you don't think, well, what caused it? How did they get that? What took place? Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the same things that maybe could have caused that? What can I do different to try to avoid it? All of that stuff goes through my mind. Let's just break down the barriers. Let's just be real tonight for a second. All of us think that way. I think that way. You think that way. We all think that way. But I'm just going to tell you something tonight, a truth that you just need to grab hold of, and you need to hold it, and you need to take it home with you tonight. I'm just going to tell you, God is in control, and he is going to give us what he wants to give us, and the sooner that me and you just say, God, whatever you want, I'm okay with that, the sooner we get to that point, the sooner we're gonna have peace and joy in our lives, right? Jesus, whatever you want, God, I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not. I know that's hard. I know that's tough. But I'm just saying that's where God wants us to live. And can I also throw this in there? Look, y'all, this little life that we're living right here tonight, this is just, I want to encourage you. This life that we're living is so tiny compared to the life that's waiting. You know what, Jesus? He's never in a hurry. He's never rushed. He's never stressed. He's never worried, because he knows he's got 50 billion years waiting later, right? So let's not let the short little window we have, don't let that distort our view, because the life that we're really living is the one coming up, right? I've shared this with y'all before, and you know that, I don't know, this is just a thing that I've seen, but you know, they say, like, if your life started right here and you're living, and we would start to draw a line and you start living, and maybe you were like right here, you're 15 and then 16 and 20, and maybe glory to God, you're over here in your 30s, amen, praise the Lord, and you're over here and you're just living a good life, right? And then you get on here down to 70s, right? And you're 80s, and this is just a blessing, and then you die. But you know what? We got all the rest of this to live, to know Jesus, to fellowship, to see what that mansion's gonna look like, walk on them streets of gold. Is it gonna be a cube? Is it gonna be a pyramid? Is it gonna be a sphere? What's it gonna look like? We just got all of eternity to enjoy all those things. So let's not get it distorted. This life is just for a fleeting moment, y'all. And God loves us. And he said, hey, I got a plan. God, whatever you want, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, Jesus. Whatever you want, I just want to have the right attitude. And God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'll take it, Lord. That's the attitude that he wants us to have. That's the way he wants us to live each day, because we don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Jesus literally said, have no fear for tomorrow, for the troubles of tomorrow are sufficient thereof. Don't worry about that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. I thank you for your word. I thank you for being the Savior that loves us so much that, Lord, even though we don't understand, help us to have the attitude that says, God, whatever you want. Lord, when we have that attitude, it's the attitude that pleases you. That's worship. When we have that attitude that says, God, you are King, you are Lord, whatever you want, because you are the authority, you are the power in my life, whatever you want to do, when we have that attitude, Lord, that pleases you because it shows that we are truly submitted to you. We are recognizing your authority. We're recognizing your kingship over us, Lord. And we're saying, God, whatever you want, I'm okay with that because you are my creator. And God, help us to have that attitude. Whether you heal or don't heal, or you help, or maybe you take a few steps away from us, whatever the trial, whatever the story may be of our lives, Lord, help us just to reach up to you and say, God, whatever you want, I'll take it. Help us to be thankful. Help us to put all of this into perspective tonight and to really just, as we get up and we leave here tonight, help us just to be so grateful, so thankful in our hearts for just to go outside and to see the beautiful sun and to see the flowers and to see the spring weather, Lord. Help us just to savor these moments and just to be thankful for every day, every moment with our families and knowing, God, if this is what you want, thank you for it. Help us to be a people that's thankful and willing to just do whatever you have for us, Lord. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for this leper, Lord. We don't even know his name, but thank you for his example. He just went to you and he fell down and he said, Jesus, whatever you want. Thank you for his example. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each and every one that's been here tonight, Lord. I pray that you be with us as we go home. Watch over us. Keep us safe. Prepare us for the week ahead. Again, be with our pastor. Be with Brother Chris. Be with Brother Hemet. They're all there preaching and serving in different areas, Lord. I pray you be with each and every single one of them, Lord. As they probably, maybe, perhaps in a few moments will be closing those services, I pray that right now you would send the Holy Spirit to where they are to speak to hearts. Let people be saved tonight. And help us, Lord, to accept whatever your will is for our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.